First, I would like to know for whom it is the first retreat. So I'll say a few words of introduction so we know a little bit what is the purpose of meditation.
I was asking about translation.
People can come to a retreat or come for the first time to meditation with various type of motivation. And it is not very easy to understand what meditation is about before one has started really to practice it. So it is important first we get some kind of clear idea what is at stake in the practice of meditation. And I think that what is at stake in the practice of meditation is something that we can speak about again and again, because it's something that is quite subtle. And in a sense, our understanding depends also on our practice. So it is a very important aspect of the teaching to describe what is the point of meditation. So I'll say a few words about that to see it from one perspective tonight, and maybe you will see other perspective in the other evening. In this world, there are many conflicts, many difficulties among countries, but also among a group of people, even in the same family, many conflicts, and even sometimes within oneself, there are conflicts. But all those, they arise from different view about the world. It's not usually that people are conflicting, having the same view of a situation, because a situation is seen in a different way, understood in a different way, then there may arise a difference and conflict. And we may wonder then, trying to go deeply into what is the source of those various points of view that lead sometimes to conflict, too often to conflict, not always, but there is no conflict without a variety of opinion, without a difference of opinion. So one may come to meditation having in mind that it is to make the mind quiet, calm, and that seems quite appealing. It'd be nice to come to a practice where one would sit down and close one's eyes and slowly the mind will become calm and all the problems will disappear. How nice. And sometimes it may be the image that we get from people speaking about meditation or reading books about meditation. Oh, that's what I want. I like to go there and practice for a few days, so that would be so nice to be away from difficulties, from problems, and just experience calmness within myself. But meditation is not about bringing calmness in the mind. It does. It is also a part of the practice. But what is at stake is not about calming the mind. It has a deeper meaning. It is about understanding the origin of point of view, of concept. So to develop the wisdom that may allow us to see what is the value and truth in various point of view, so that we can develop wisdom and not be bound by different point of views. We understand, and I think that's very nice in the world, there are many point of views. If everybody would seem exactly the same thing, that would be boring. Imagine everybody says the same, think the same, dress the same, how boring it would be. So the fact that there are many point of view, that's fine, that's a richness. But the fact they lead to difficulties, problem and conflict, that not a necessity and that where freedom is being lost. So in the practice of meditation, the main aspect is to develop wisdom in order to see the nature of those values point of view, so that one may use them, but not be conditioned by them, not be limited by them. So it would be misleading to believe that meditation in this context would be to get another point of view, one more. So among all the values point of view, then one can go to a meditation retreat and then get one more point of view. So now we have an extra one that may be supposed to be more sophisticated, wider, but still it would be another point of view that could be in conflict with other point of view. And that's exactly what it is not about. That transmitting some set of belief that one may explain them very precisely and then hold on to those beliefs, replacing maybe old one by new one. So it's not what it is about. What we are dealing in meditation is to see the reality of life, the reality of the world, before any point of view arises, before any concept arises, so before any difference may arise. So to start to be aware how various point of view may arise. Because one is so intimate with experience, staying very close to what one is experiencing before any concept, notion or thought may arise about what we're experiencing. So when we can stay so close to ourselves, so close to our experiences, before notion arise, then we understand, we see things how they are, so to speak. Could be nuanced, but we can say we see things how they are. And then we also understand how the point of view are arising, how point of view are depending, useful, but they are not true reality. And one is mistaken, taking the point of view for truth, then there start to be conflict. Because if it is, that is the truth, and another person says something different and that is the truth, this is not possible. But if I say, this is a point of view, then another person can say, this is my point of view, and that's possible. We can have many point of view again. That's richness. That's not a problem. But when we're holding two point of view as truth, as reality, then we're binding ourselves. Then we're conditioning ourselves. So that's exactly what we explore in our practice. Trying to not hold on to any kind of preconception, notion, point of view, and trying to be as unburdened as possible with any kind of belief about life, about my experience, even about myself, to try to be aware what's happening then when I am just experiencing what I'm experiencing. Trying to very, very clearly understand and deeply see what I'm experiencing. So that's what we are exploring in our meditation. Because that brings wisdom. And wisdom may be okay, but why should we wish wisdom rather than confusion? Who said wisdom would be better than confusion? Because the wisdom that may arise from this intimacy with the experience bring also freedom. Now we can say, why freedom? Then question can go on. Let's just suppose that freedom is something interesting to explore, at least to have the choice. Would I rather live in a free way or completely being conditioned? Then if one has the choice, because one can experience both, then you can decide freedom is fine or not. But when we are conditioned by narrow point of view or even vast point of view, then there is no choice. We are just conditioned. So that may seem quite abstract. What does it mean to stay close to the experience? And exactly what the word translating or expressing the meditation that we are practicing, Satipatthana, is expressing, is close mindfulness, to be close to the experience. So what does it mean? Which way do we have to be far from the experience? And far from ourselves, and far from our life, far from reality. So when we escape from reality, from this intimacy with each experience, when we escape from that, is escaping in imagination. So we start to imagine our life, to dream our life, rather than living our life. And one can spend one's life dreaming it, imagining it rather than living it. It is possible to spend however many years one life may be long, one may experience that just as a dreaming or just imagination, but not be really there for one's life. And nobody else can be there for one life. It's not possible for somebody else to do it, so we have to do it for ourselves. And then the challenge at every instance of our practice to be here for our life in all its richness. And when we have preconception, often we don't recognize the richness. We want another richness. We want an imaginary richness. And we don't see the real richness which is right now in this instant. Just because we believe that rich experience, nice experience, happy experience must be this way or that way. So when it appears in a different way, we escape into imagination. I rather dream than facing the reality of what's happening now. So we have, as a human being, this fantastic capacity to escape from our life, which is so amazing if we think about it. We have the freedom, in a sense, we have the freedom to be not alive. Just dreaming, just in fantasy. And maybe, I don't know, maybe this capacity was very important when we were very young, this capacity of escaping in order to deal with very difficult situations that may be normal in a young child at the time. I don't know. But the problem is that we start to be so efficient in escaping reality that we don't know anymore to be in touch with reality. We are too good at escaping. We don't know anymore not to escape. So in this sense, meditation is not about developing very complex technique so that one can really create something else. On the contrary, it is rather letting go of all those techniques, those means that we have to escape, because we realize the cost of dreaming one's life rather than living one's life. Which means that in our meditation, we don't cling to memory of the past, we don't cling to anticipation of the future. We try to be with what's happening right now. And certainly as we meditate, we recognize so often that we are escaping in the past, memories of other things, or escaping in anticipation of the future. They don't need to be deep anticipation. It can be just waiting for the next lunch, for example. Not a strong anticipation, yet it still does mean for us an escaping, not being here for what's happening for me, not here for my life. Our life can only happen in the present. And there's a deep richness in that. So we need to recognize this escaping in past, escaping in the future. Recognizing that as imagination, which has its value as imagination, no doubt. We don't aim as a meditator to suddenly lose all the power of imagination. That will be a misunderstanding. But what we want, and this we know very well, the power of imagination, most of us are very skillful at, so we don't need a specific training for that. So that's why, for the time being, we say, what if we were just letting that on the side, for just exploring what's happening when I am not in imagination? Just to try it for a few days. What if I were not escaping constantly? What would I discover then? In a sense, the present, or the present experience, or the presence of our life, is the thing that we know the least. We know our life as past experience, which is so interesting. We know our life as future expectation. But as present experience, we know very little. And when we know our life through past experience, a past experience is just imagination, is not real. So at every instant we make a conceptualization of the experience that we keep in mind. So there is an experience, and then we make a concept, make an image of that, and we keep that in mind. And that's what we really deal in life. We deal with this picture. It's like people going on trip, you know, they take picture before seeing where they are, you know, get down from the bus and taking picture, and then they are home, say, oh, you see where I was? Well, they were never there. Yeah. They were just taking picture. So we spend our life a little bit like that, not being completely there, making memories and then bringing those memories again and again. And sometimes it's striking to see how the memories are different from what we did experience. Sometimes we had a time and the memory seems to be, oh, that was such a good time. So that's strange. I did not feel it was so fantastic when I was there. But now, as memory, it is so nice. It just, I forgot all the difficult aspects. Or sometimes the contrary. I thought it was nice, but now I have memories of some of the difficulty. So with this tendency to live in imagination, not in reality. And freedom comes not from living in imagination, but comes from living in reality. Reality is not binding us. And that's so interesting. Only imagination is binding us. Only imagination is conditioning us. And that's not something you need to believe. We need to explore that in our practice. To really see by ourselves what's happening when I am not lost in imagination about past or future, when I'm also not telling a story about what's happening right now. Something can happen and then I start to tell a story. It is this, it is that, it is good, it is bad, because of this, because of that. Then I'm not really experiencing it. I am analyzing it as I am experiencing it. So I'm not here for that. I'm just now in the stories I'm telling about the present experience. But what if I'm not clinging to past, not anticipating future, not lost in telling a story about what's happening right now? Then what would I discover? How life would be then? I just would be here for this life that is manifesting now. And that is a great discovery. That does not depend on any beliefs, does not depend on any religion. But you're there, the way that it manifests, for all of us, it manifests in a similar way. Doesn't mean the experience are the same. You may experience sleepiness, freshness, calmness, agitation, joy or sadness. You can all experience valued aspect of life. But when one is not telling a story, when one is just experiencing that, then there is something similar. There is a depth in this experiencing and a freedom also that cannot be found in past or in future. But one may wonder, say that, that's okay, but if I have difficulties in my life or right now, so if I am not escaping in past and future, I'm just staying with the experience now. Is it not resignation? So I have to live now with all the difficulties. I have no permission now to jump in past and future. I have to face the present. However, if the present is difficult, then it's resignation. So meditation is quite poor because it does not offer any solution. I just have to stay with the present experience. And I'm even not allowed to jump into past and future, which at least I was using, and that was sometimes making life lighter. So one may wonder, and if that's just what meditation is about, better go home. Maybe it's just about being stuck with the present difficulty. But when one is experiencing, not escaping in past and future, one is experiencing what's happening now, and it is a difficult experience, and that may happen, of course. When one is connected in a superficial way to the present experience, then it may have this difficult aspect. Then it appears something that is conditioning, that is heavy, that is difficult, because we don't understand it deeply. But when I start with curiosity to feel, to experience with much more depth and precision what's really happening right now, I will discover that any aspect of the difficulty that may be experienced now, if no power to bother me or to condition me, it is my wrong vision of it that did make it difficult. So that when I stop superficially at the present experience, it did appear as difficult experience. But when I go deep into it, because I'm opening to it, trying to be much more clear, not stopping at some point of view, evaluation, judgment, but really intimately experiencing that, I will discover that within that, there is wisdom and freedom. Any experience. Not this experience is fine, but this one is difficult. So one whatever selection, I understand that what he says may be true for all other, but my difficulty, this is not possible. This is something special. No, there is no difficulty in the present. If we can go deeply in it, that we cannot overcome through wisdom and then feel the freedom in it. And the joy. Again, that is not something to believe, that is something to explore in one's practice. And that's why we're here for, to explore. Sometimes we open to small difficulties and we discover this freedom. Sometimes we meet deeper difficulty and we can also explore that. It takes some practice. It's not that one just get the instructions they should have told me before. No, I know the difficulty is that you stay there and open and go deep into it and there's no problem. Well, it's true. It does take sensitivity, lightness and practice. And courage also. Because our first reaction is difficult, I want to escape. So what we try in our meditation mostly is to transform our experience, to try to improve them. But when we start to want to transform, to improve them, then we are losing ourselves, we are losing the opportunity to see deeply the experience and find this wisdom and freedom. So every instant we have this opportunity of a deeper understanding of life that's happening right now. Every experience, unless you are deeply asleep, but then you will be forgiven for this time. So, but if you are not deeply asleep, then there is a possibility of deepening this experience, finding wisdom and freedom in this experience. So We cannot say, well, I'm sorry, but I have no opportunity. We always have the opportunity. It is true, some are more challenging than some other. We don't decide before. But we learn from any experience. So the meditation is not about having nice experience, so beautiful that you smile from morning till evening like that, or so beautiful. Not about that. It's about the way we open to any experience. It means that we're opening fully to any aspect of our life, at every instant. Not rejecting 90% of our life, or 99% of our life. For another one that we would like, which is not him. So that is quite uncommon. When we get a job, so to speak, where nothing needs to be done, everything is done already. Because we are already present, our life is already here, we don't need to make it every instant. So, if one were to ask, so what should we do? There is nothing to be done. One doesn't need to make that or that happen. It's done, so we just need to be aware and discover. We're discovering what's happening right now, not making it. As soon as we want to make it, we fall into the doing mode, and this doing is always in temporality and in expectation of a result. So not doing, just being. Being at every instant with what life presents itself. With this motivation to understand it deeply. So when we say there's nothing to be done, then that's maybe quite strange. So why are we here? Nothing would need to be done. But what we will notice in our practice is that although we can sit without moving too much, peacefully, and having no intention to do, then suddenly we realize we are constantly doing something, slightly improving that, slightly trying to transform this. Constantly we are manipulating our life. Manipulating means resisting it, rather than opening to life. Although our intention is not to do something, we constantly may find out that we are doing something, clinging to past experience, anticipating a slightly better experience. So our practice is not doing something, is slowly to be aware how much we are doing and letting go of this doing, so that we can just be open to the present experience, to be open to how our life is manifesting right now. Well, it's not that it needs much effort, that it is very tiring. Well, sometimes it is, but it is rather than sensitivity and lightness and to practice with relaxation. There's a Tibetan saying that says, good relaxation, good meditation. Medium relaxation, medium meditation. Bad relaxation, bad meditation. So it's not about making effort to accomplish anything, but on the contrary, to relax in the present experience, to open to the present experience. So let's start a few minutes of practice. So we'll start with a few minutes of practice. Take a position that seems to you the most suitable. And if it is painful at times, you may shift position and you will try to find out what is the best position for you. And it takes sometimes a little bit trying to find out what is the best position. Yeah, and tomorrow morning, and battle will help you to find the proper position, especially for newcomers. So you may close your eyes. Just be aware of what's happening when you close your eyes. You have no job to do, so what's happening? What is life presenting within you? just right now, not to make evaluation, judgment, just feeling it, experiencing it. So what do you feel? What are you experiencing within yourself? Maybe feeling at ease, maybe not at ease. When you come out, it's a strange place. It's okay, it doesn't matter. Just be aware. Here for what life presents itself in this instant. And it may shift, it may change every instant. Just feeling within yourself what's happening every instant. No judgment, no evaluation. Maybe tiredness, and that's fine. That happens sometimes in life. Sleepiness, that's fine too. Calmness, tranquility, that's fine too. Feeling slightly hot, that's fine too. But how does it feel? Slight feeling of heat. Is it agreeable, disagreeable? How does it feel? And maybe where you are seated, hearing of some sound, that's fine. A beautiful aspect of life. Hearing some sound. But show that there is someone where you are seated and that's you. In a relaxed way, there is nothing to accomplish. Just be open and be aware. Just be aware of what's happening right now. How is life manifesting right now for you? Within you? There is sleepiness, it means there is a conscious being experiencing sleepiness where you sit. If there is tiredness, it means there is a conscious being experiencing tiredness. Or calmness, or tranquility, or excitement, or doubt, or uneasiness. Uneasiness revealed, there is a conscious being to experience uneasiness. Just to feel, no need to make judgment, evaluation. Sometimes you see too many things happening at the same time. I'm sleepy and there are thoughts and I have some pain here. Or I wonder what to be aware of. So it may be skillful at times to choose one set of experiences, a field of experience. It is very clear that you're feeling the presence of the body, feeling the density, heaviness of the body, body's presence. It's here exactly where I'm seated and it is the person I am. This beautiful aspect of existing as a concrete being. That's nice, not a dreamlike being, a concrete being with a body, existing as a body's presence. Just being aware of that. Not so much having a body, but being a body. Maybe felt clearly in some area, like in the abdomen, in the chest, and there's more light there. One may feel the concrete aspect of our being, feeling sensations. One may just connect with that. Our life is being experienced there, felt in the abdomen or in the chest. The way of being, not of doing anything. So that may be skillful to take as a grounding experience the presence of the body as a whole, or more specific area, choosing the abdomen or the chest. Life manifests there clearly. So every morning we'll go on with a description of the practice in a precise way, just as we saw for a few minutes here. But I want to say a few words about the structure of the retreat. So as we are living together here, we need a structure in order for us that is will be the easiest to practice together. And we could imagine many, many forms that we could organize our retreat with. But we have to choose one, we cannot have many, so the one that we choose, and we have chosen for many years, that seems for us maybe one that is helpful. And also that the one we know very well. So it is to alternate the meditation between sitting meditation and walking meditation. So we do that during the day, walking meditation, sitting meditation. And we do that as a group. The group is a very good support. If we come together in the hall at the same time and leave at the same time, it's quite important. The group helps. Sometimes we are tired, and the fact that we're with all the group members around us is helping us to find the energy just to be in the hall. So that is important. It's a timing for us to be together, coming in the hall and leaving the hall. And it's also important to the retreat is in silence, not because words are bad or thoughts are bad, but we try to make it as simple as possible. And words are so fascinating. We could imagine if we could speak at the table, lunch or dinner or breakfast, so many interesting things we could learn from each other. Oh, that's fascinating, this person went there, there's this person there, or those beautiful mountain or lake or sea to see, then we come and sit and just go on with the conversation, not just a review what is, I should have thought about that and that. So actually we'll be always in the conversation, but sometimes with the other, sometimes alone. And that is something that we know very well. So to experience being in silence together is something very interesting, and also to discover the richness of silence. You can listen to the silence, which is also never pure. That does it mean a pure silence? It's full of small noise. A group of people in silence it's also slightly noisy, and they got all kind of sounds here. So that's quite interesting. Suddenly one has nothing to say. Imagine sometimes, I don't know, you are at a place and people are asking you questions and questions, so you need to answer. Here nobody is asking you questions, you don't need to answer, you just can be by yourself. So that's quite important, this dimension. And we don't contact each other, don't write notes. You're so fantastic, inspiring, and wow, you know, it's like a god or like a goddess, all that. And beautiful, nice intention, but it's disturbing. You read that, you don't exactly know what you don't know who is the person first, so you wonder who is that, you know. And what this person has in mind, you know. So, then you can write a book about that, you know. Oh yeah, that must be this person, because this person looked at me this way, and I think that I could see in his eyes, or eyes, just full of stories. And we know that, so it's not that I'm making up stories. We have heard those stories. I made those stories in my own meditation, so I know what I'm speaking about. So in this sense, it's very important that we keep to ourselves, yet being together. There's something very touching to be together and respecting the silence. It's a deep respect to give to other people, to respect the silence. If you were to go to another person and start to speak, you would not respect the silence of this person, neither the silence of the group. So it's not that one can choose, because if one starts to speak, one is breaking the silence for the whole of the group and for another person. And that's also very easy thing to be mindful of. Before being mindful of complex stuff, just to be mindful to be in silence. It's a beautiful practice. And if people believe it is difficult to be in silence, so we'll ask them in the evening to give the Dharma talk. So we'll see them to speak for 1 hour. Usually it's much more difficult. So it is inside. To be in silence, you just don't open your mouth. So that's not very difficult. So please explore that again, not as a discipline, I don't like to see it as a discipline, but as an exploration. something that is so rare, to be in a world with silence. That is so rare and so precious. But it's also good if you don't do reading or any other thing, so that you can experience. Some people come to a retreat and read books about meditation. It's very interesting. It's like you go to the restaurant and you read the menu or recipe, you know, and the waiter comes and you want to eat something. No, I just read the books, you know. So you come to meditation and read about meditation so that next time you can practice meditation. Just now, it's time to practice for us. And we have all the condition for us to do that. Again, it's not that books on meditation are bad, it's just that now it's time for practicing, not for getting too much information. You'll get a little bit information from us, three of us, and hopefully enough, hopefully clear enough, and there will be small group where it is not clear, you can ask questions, say, I do not understand, or I don't understand this aspect. There will be small group where you can ask the question. So you don't need more information. Time for practicing. And so respecting the schedule, I think, is important. And here there is also a work period every day where each one of us is asked to participate a little bit to the working of our group, to help prevent the food or clean the dishes. And that's a nice way to integrate meditation, and also a nice way to be integrated in the group. See, sometimes we give courses where we don't have this opportunity because there are a team of people, professionals, doing the cooking and also the cleaning and everything, and it is missing in this retreat. It's a nice aspect of participating a little bit in the work and also connecting with each other. Now, one important aspect in our practice is continuity, just to try to be here in any situation. We spoke about walking, about sitting meditation. But if you, when you drink a cup of tea or coffee, you can also be just being present there, being in your life to enjoy a cup of tea or coffee, not missing this part, or not dreaming about something else. Just take the opportunity, it's a nice time, just be here for that. So, taking any aspect of what's happening during the day, to explore being here with what's happening in our life at this instant. Okay, anyway, if we think about other things to say, we'll say tomorrow and the day to come. Now I want to say a few words about walking meditation, because now there is a time for walking meditation. So, and the walking meditation is also to be present with the experience. To be present with whatever is happening. Maybe you can stand up. Just stand up. It would be better if you were standing on the floor rather than on the mat, because they are not so stable. So just feel the way you are standing. You can feel your feet on the floor. Just feel your feet on the floor. And as you are here, from feet to head, from head to feet, just being here, existing physically. Body not as something that you have, but as something that you are. And you may switch the weight of your body into the right leg, slowly switch the weight of your body into the right leg and feel what's happening in your chest, in your abdomen. Something very rich is happening in the way you are breathing. Now you may switch the weight of your body into the left leg and feel what's happening in the switching. In your chest, in your abdomen, in the way you are breathing, in your legs. Now you may come to a position of balance and feel what's happening. And be just standing, as a way of being, not having a body, being. Slowly you may turn your head to the left. Turn your head to the left and feel what's happening. The way you are breathing, the way you are standing. The richness of all those experiences. The way that you are a body. To the left. Feel the way you are breathing. And slowly you may turn your head to the right and feel what's happening in the way you are breathing, in the way you are standing. Just being here or experiencing this whole movement in life. Feel the way you are breathing. Your feet on the floor. Slowly you may turn your head and find a position of balance and feel what's happening. And you may open your eyes and discover seeing another experience, fantastic experience. So when one practices walking meditation, usually one takes a very simple path, you know, walking forth and back a few meters, so that we can explore that. If you were wanting to walk around or something like that, you're always going to wonder, should I go here or there? No, there's a person here, there's a person there. Just walk a few meters forth and back and choose the speed that you feel proper speed. You don't need to walk very slowly. You don't need to walk fast. You are going nowhere, so it doesn't matter. As you are going nowhere, walking fast or slowly does not matter. Just feel from inside what is really proper for you at this time. Exploring. And if you are bored, just be bored. Explore boredom. If you are fascinated, explore fascination. Just be here for what life manifests in this walking. Okay, so please go and practice walking. I think till 8:30. Half an hour. And come back here and there will be another half an hour and sitting for just during the day. So half an hour walking and then half an hour sitting. Yeah, so the person that ring the bell could ring at 8:25.